The Sean Green Show. Sean covers all things entertainment. Movies, books, news, concerts, television, video games, the entertainment guru. Sean covers it all. This is the Sean Green Show podcast. The Sean Green Show podcast on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.
All right, and welcome to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there listening. Hey, make sure you guys go to SeanGreenShow.com. Yes, that is SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest interviews, podcasts, and interviews up at SeanGreenShow.com. Also, you can check me out on WGNPlus.com. You'll find all the good stuff there. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at SeanGreenShow on Twitter. Facebook, you know, you can find me. It's SeanGreenShow Media on Facebook. Got a special guest in here today. I want to tell a little story before I introduce you. You know, it's funny how things happen in the world. And the way I came across this brother, I was actually on Facebook trying to find a barber. I mean, real talk, I was trying to find a barber. And, you know, the first, you know, we're in the media age now, so I got a lot of friends on Facebook. So one of the things I did, I said, you know what, let me go on Facebook, because I know a lot of brothers, like, they still go to the barbershop. I barely go to the barbershop now because I got a bald head. But, you know, I know my beard was getting out of whack. So I'm like, you know, let me put my feelers out there, because, you know, I don't like going to everybody's barbershop. That's one thing I definitely don't like to do, is going to people's barbershop, because you never know what may happen in the barbershop. So one of my Facebook friends was like, hey, check out Don over here on 102nd. And, you know, I went there, and then first and foremost, the barbershop was, you know, it was so immaculate and it was peaceful. And that's one thing I like. You know, brothers, we like peace, you know, even though we, you know, may live in areas that don't reflect that, but that's what we all want, you know what I mean? So, you know, I ended up getting my hair cut, or my beard shaped up and trimmed by Donatello Cassell. Now, the name, you know, you probably, who named somebody named Donatello? Well, you know, honestly,
Cuts fades.
Right. Now, you know, he's part of a movement, and I wanted to let people know about this movement. The name of the movement is what's the name of the, tell me, it's the
International PCAF Kingsmen.
All right. Now, one of the things we were talking about, you know, when I was sitting there in that chair, was, you know, about your whole organization and what you do. And one of the things that really touched me about, you know, the story of your organization is that, you know, a lot of brothers, you know, they may get locked up. You know, it can be something petty, it could be something major, but when you go in the system like that, you know, in my opinion, is that when you go into the system, you pay your debt to society, right? But when you get out, you know, a lot of these brothers don't have nowhere to go, because, you know, maybe the jail system didn't really prepare them for what's out there once they go beyond the jail cell when they come out, because, you know, a lot of jobs, you know, employers kind of shun away, you know, somebody that's been locked up. Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of sad, because just like you said, when people, you know, get desperate and they try to, you know, they try to do right when they first get out, because nobody wants to go to jail. You know, nobody, honestly, nobody, you know, when you look at, you know, a drug dealer or anything like that, nobody really wants to do that, but they put in a situation to where that's the only thing they know. And one of the things about your organization is that you take those people that's been in the system, or maybe headed for that system, you trying to steer them away. It's, yes, not necessarily you got to be a part of that, but if you want to be part of the solution that's going on in the black community, you know, your organization is there. Yeah. And that's one of the things that really touched me about your story. And I want to let everybody else know, hey, you out there, man.
Yes, sir.
So I want to know, like your story. How did you come about even being a part of this?
Well, Brother Green, so what happened with me was when I was locked up, you know, I come from a neighborhood that was, you know, drug infested, you know, just high gang activities and things like that, and I was one of the leaders of that, you know, but I've always seen myself as a leader within, even leading in the wrong direction. But I saw a difference in life. I've come from a background family that was not structured to be, you know, doing wrong. I just was hard headed, and when I got myself in a situation was that I couldn't get myself out of, I just I had to start depending on God, you know. And you know, everybody go to jail, they always say, "Oh God," you know. But me, I had that inkling inside of me before I even went to jail. So when I went in, I asked God to, you know, I said, "You got to give me a substitution." And so everything I petitioned them for a pastor, I petitioned them for somebody I could talk to, somebody, you know, the things people in the world, the streets, we say, we want nobody to take our money, we don't want nobody to know, trick us out or whatever. And I just asked God to reveal the realness to me. And that, so as I got out of jail in 2000, I got out, you know, and I had, you know, it just trying to live life basic, you know. I couldn't do too much. I had this record, you know. I had to, mm-hmm. you know, I just really had to start trying to think what I'm gonna do. So I end up getting into a barbershop, you know. It was called Tom Style World, you know. That was on 86 and Racine. Mm-hmm. So I, the pastor who came in, I didn't know he was a pastor. His name was Bishop Jerry Jones, but at the time it was just Mr. Jones. Mm-hmm. And he just, you know, he encouraged me. You know, this was the ironic thing. He never tried to, like, approach me with, "Son, you need to, you know, be a church guy."
Right, right.
He just, you know, asked me, "Can I, you know," he liked how I cut hair, just like how I met you.
Right.
He was like, can you come to the church or whatever? And I was like, you know, before I knew it, I was finding myself, you know, at church cutting his hair, but I kept being nosy. So, I knew I was dealing with my papers. You know, you got to do 24 months. Sometimes people got file fees, but I had 24 months. So as I was in the system, I was steady going to church, and I started wanting to get involved with more stuff in church. You know, a lot of people from my neighborhood always reached back. They was asking me things like, you know, how did you change your life? How did you do that? So what I did, what happened, my pastor had introduced me into a men's ministry. And, you know, he was calling it the King's Men. So the King's Men, you know, I took that as an outlet to give back.
Right.
And so what it turned into, it was a group of men who was trying to influence and encourage other men, young men, that God can change anything in your life. He can put a different. So it was a male mentorship program, you know, within the whole organization. We have over 365 churches in this organization that I work with, you know, on a day to day, month to month, you know, basis. And I try to reach out to them, young, old, different nationalities. We have Hispanics, we have Jamaican, we have, you know, South African, you know, you name it. We all over the country, international. So with me being working with this group, I was able to get involved with different programs like Cabrini Green Legal Center. I don't know if I can say certain names, but different groups that was helping me to prepare myself to get myself back into society. I said, how can I be a leader or help people if I don't have a substance to help? So what I did was I was able to get my records and stuff expunged through this process of we do a thing called a knighting service. You know, mm-hmm. it's you have to do so much, so much anticipating to help the community. You have to get involved in different community activities. You have to be able to give back to the community. I know a lot of incarcerated people. I know a lot of people who is getting incarcerated. I know a lot of young people who have lost their life. Parents I deal with, that single parent moms. Everything that the streets had taught me to do wrong, I turned it around into a positive. I always try to go back to my old neighborhoods and do prayer visuals, you know, speak to them about the power in this ministry, how it's helping to help you change. We able to, you know, work with young men who need a job. You know, just recently we just came back from our midwinter convention. It's a business session for us, and I was able to get with three different councils in our organization that's talking about reentry. The reentry program is where that you're able to get reenter your life into society. And what that means that you're able to, first of all, work on trying to get your records and stuff expunged some. If you need help with financial money, food services, health, medical, stuff like that, we have different programs that's linked up with the Kingsmen that can help these people to get their stuff back in order.
Now, one thing I definitely want to ask you about, and you kind of touched on a little bit, was you know, you have to go this whole the knighting process.
Okay.
Now, have you come across guys that that you felt were, in a sense, unreachable, or you they just felt like they wasn't for that, and they just wanted to stay with the street, or was there ever a time where you always get. You know, some is like, man, I'm not about to be about that. I'm gonna be about these streets. I'm trying to get mine right now. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, and you know how it is. So, I mean, how do you approach that young kid? You know, maybe in the late teens or early 20s, and they just out there just wild.
My approach to that is, first of all, I know that I serve a God, but I have to come to them on that level. See, by me being able to relate to being in those circumstances, I'm able to just come at them as a brother, as a friend. You can't force anybody to do anything. Yes, I have plenty of people that have said, man, you know, I don't think that'll work for me. I'm too far gone out there. But all you could do is you got to ask them where, you got to meet them where they at. And that's why I try to, over the years, this is a 12-year ministry that's been working. So what I've come up with was different, not solutions, but
avenues of approach
to those different negative statements. Like, I'm too far out there. It's not gonna work. And I have to show them that it's an outlet for that. So basically, at this point, long as I can produce the entity for them, it can kind of work. But you got some, man, that's just, you got to pray for them, that's just so far out there, you know. But if you show them that they can, you give them an opportunity to be able to make some finance legally, to eat legally, to pay bills, get out here and know that it's not something that's phony. You show up, you work with them hands on, they'll adjust some type of way. It's not an overnight process, you know.
Right.
You just got to take your time. And that's what I like about the Kingsmen, because we're able to, it's a process. We constantly try to do things during the year, not just a one time thing. We try to stay communicating, you know, it's more than just me. It take, like I said, take a village to raise.
Yeah.
It's a lot of us out here, man.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that we talked about too was just the whole political aspect of it, because, you know, we're over there with Alderman Brookins and
yes,
everything.
Sir.
So,
good guy.
And you ran into him, and you know, that whole interaction with the whole this politics of it, you know, just outside of the Alderman. I mean, how has the feedback been with, you know, certain political entities? Because, I mean, honestly, we're coming up on a mayoral election within a year. Mm-hmm. Okay, right now we got about four candidates. We got Rahm Emanuel, we got McCarthy, we got Willie Wilson, who I personally like, honestly, because, you know, it was one story that he did last year where he was just...
Yeah.
He was just, you know, paying people's bonds that couldn't, you know what I'm saying? Like the bonds was too high. It was just like for petty crimes, you know, they just can't get out. And now they stuck in the system because they ain't got the money to get out. He was going and paying that.
Right.
And what amazes me about his story was that, you know, he, you know, with a seventh grade education was able to basically be self-made. You know what I'm saying? Start off, you know, from the bottom at McDonald's, ended up he owning McDonald's now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's one of the things I like about him. And you have a couple other candidates too. So, and I'm saying all this because, you know, I honestly think like an organization like yours has so much of an impact in what happens in this town, because I honestly believe, like, especially the black male, we've been kind of ignored, you know, in this city. It's like we've been, you know, it's like, okay, we'll deal with them when we're ready to deal with them. And the only way we're going to deal with them is through law enforcement and locking them up and all this other stuff, man. So, man, I commend you for all that, man.
Yeah, man, I give it all to God. Yeah, we have a connection with some politicians, but we try not to mix it like that. We try to basically be a community-based, you know, try to build the community, tie the community with the church. That's my focus, a bridge in the community. I want to be the gap that bridges the community and the church. So I've been working with a couple members of our church organization, which our Kingsmen, are highly influenced with their job positions, which do connect us to the political realm. Sorry about that. But we like to go out and do what you call community-based researching, community-based helping. We offer all these different approaches for the community. So it draws attention from those political leaders. Brookings is over the 21st Ward, which two or three, the shop I'm in now, Mellow Swing, shout out to George and Zeke and John. That's my guy. I have to get a shout out to him. You know, sorry about that. You know, Mellow Swing, we doing what we do over there, 1023 South Vincennes. But we are a people's shop. And what my church do, what the Kingsmen do, we go out and we pray for different communities. My pastor, Bishop Jerry Jones, he's a Kingsmen director over the whole ministry. So he is the church pastor for Percy L. Julian, which is on 103rd. That's one of the things we do. We go out to the high schools. We have another brother that's a Kingsman. He worked with Operation Push, D. Gatherite. He works with Operation Push. So we got a lot of people that are involved with it. But what we're doing is we're setting up entities where that educational give back, job search give backs, religious prayer. When I say religious, I want to just say prayer. We offer prayer for needs. You know, you can call in anytime. My number's available to speak. I'm always taking tours to different things. If it's a situation where it's been some type of crime or something, I like to go over and consult where I can. I like to be not just to get a political shout out, like, oh, I'm doing. Right. No, I've been there. I know how it is. And 9 times out of 10, by me being who I am, I have a very wide range of who I know. So a lot of times I get calls saying, can you come pray for us? Can you help my child? A lot of kids that was babies are now young adults. They're coming to me for assistance. And I like the fact that we're able to offer that. It's like this Kingsmen ministry is not just your average church ministry. It's a life-changing mentorship. It has so much to offer. I just wish that I could have a thank you for giving me this plateau to say. But
it is something that needs to be, people need to know about, because, you know, one thing, and I've been guilty of it too, so I'm not above the fray. You know, like a lot of people, you know, especially when they stay in the hood, you know, they lose faith, you know, especially seeing what they see on a day-to-day basis. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Especially, you know, I got family in Englewood. You know, I stay in Roseland. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you see what you see, you be like, man, you know, we out here bad. And, you know, we downtown. We got this nice little view behind us. You know what I'm saying? Then when we leave here, we go right back to the slums. You know what I'm saying? We're like, how can we just want a piece of good living. You know what I'm saying? That's all we want. We want a piece of the good living just like everybody else. And that's all we want. And at times it seems like we don't get that chance. Yeah. You know, and all we want is a chance. Honestly, you give us a little, you crack the door open a little bit, and then you see how much you can shine. You know, and that's what, you know, somebody cracked the door open for me to be just in this spot. And came across a positive brother like yourself. And I'm like, I'm going to crack the door open. And you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, sky's the limit, man.
I'm telling you, it's a perfect opportunity. I mean, right now, my history of my life, I was a young guy. You know, I come from a single parent household. Mom was sick, grandfather was sick. I lost them. I lost all my family at a young age. I had to fend for myself out here. You know, you know how you got families that's broke up and stuff, but you got to just hold on to that famous what grandma, granddad taught you.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, I was born and bred in Roseland. I moved to low end. 47, 87, 54. I've been in all the slummest areas, and I've made so many mistakes in life that God has opened up a window for me for change, and I want to be that link. You know, I have so many outlets. I've met so many positive brothers like yourself that we're able to give back. That's what it's about. I mean, people don't want to get with something that's not going to be edifying for them. They don't want to be a part of something that's the average thing. Yeah, we can go out here and tell a person that it's going to rain today, and then it rains. But that's it. You ain't giving no umbrella.
Right.
you ain't open up. You ain't say, hey, man, you know, come on inside, you know, get out the rain. They won't, you know, we got to be that outlet for them. And that's what I'm trying to do with this ministry. It's a plateau for me to give back. And all I want to do is create positive people with stronger mentalities.
Yeah, and speaking of giving back, you're on May 4th and 5th, yes. And we got to get this in so people can know, you know, if they want to be a part of something and something positive, you know, this is something you can do. You got an International Kingsman Retreat that's going on. I want you to talk to me a little bit about this retreat that's going to happen you know what to expect at this retreat that's going to happen May 4th and 5th. It's going to be in Marion, Indiana, and just take it from there, man. I want to know, you know, what it's about and what's going to happen there, man.
Man, annually May, the first weekend of May, but this year 2018 Kingsman, we having a Bible conference retreat in Marion, Indiana, Shiloh Park. This event is going to have seminars that's going to be talking about for the youth about pornography, homosexuality. We're going to be breaking down things about hormones when they raising at a certain age. We're going to be talking about financial future. We got for the men, we're going to have things about strengthening marriages, struggling in ministry, men's incompleting their life goals. It's so much stuff. We got a basketball league that we're going to have just to, you know, exercise in. This retreat is geared for, we got a new reentry program that's helping those brothers that that's getting out of the penitentiary or thinking about that's on papers. We're going to be able to help you train and learn how to be construction workers, building drywall building drywall to piping, to air ducts. We got a brother that's going to come in and train us for that. We going to have good food. We going to have speakers from all over the country that's involved in our organization. Outside organizations are welcome. We got a few brothers from different organizations that's coming in to just show support. This thing has been growing. I'm looking for a great time. It's an overnight event, so we going to be rock climbing. It's so many entities to this. We're going to be praying. We just going to be talking. We got a bonfire where we just unleashed where people could just, you know, cry out for problems, and we're gonna be able to have so many people that's gonna be able to help try to solve these things. And this is what it's about. I mean, this retreat is to just get out, unwind, get your education, get all the things that we can offer you to be able to go back to your state to tell other brothers to be able to help. I'm linking in right now with different states to try to see how the jail systems are working, because everybody's state is different. They have different laws and things like that.
Right.
But I want to be able to have this as a national entity for everybody. So when you come to the Kingsman or you contact us, we'll be able to help you in any state or direct you to whatever facility or what 311 or 911 numbers that you got to call to get. Or we could just, maybe we can do like combined state things where some of the things, the programs that's offered here should be able to help. But I'm just trying to make sure that every state got their own laws. But this retreat is what we do all the time. It's just something that has helped me to be able to get my records expunged. Like, I had a felony that was not able to get expunged through working through the Kingsman, showing them my certificates, which is through the knighting service. This is a certificate that come out to show that you have participated successfully within the King's Men's recreation and retreats and mentorship programs, you'll be able to take these sealed documents from the PCF organization, which is a legal document, and you can use these in any court of law to help you to show that you have been in a successful mentorship program. It helped Governor Quinn was able to pardon my things. Well, now I have no, you know, I'm record free, man. I got my life back. I feel like a man. You know, anybody that know, if you have anything over your head like that, it makes you less than a man, because all you seeing is no's, no's, no's. You don't see no, you don't even think about yes. You have to just keep in your mind that yes, yes, the King's Men offer you that chance to have a yes. And that's what I want to do. I want to give back that yes. You know, we've been down for so long, you know, and it's not just, this is not just the African-American thing. This is for brothers.
Right, it's human.
It's brothers,
it's a human,
man.
Thing.
I want to get this straight now. Not African. It's open. It's the brothers.
All right. Now, if you want to register to go to this retreat, it's a Shiloh Park Retreat Center in Marion, Indiana. If you want to register for it, make sure you guys go to PCAFNKM.com. Make sure you go there, PCAFNKM.com, or you can call 773-220-2802. That's 773-220-2802. Make sure you check out PCAFNKM.com too. Check out that website. They got, you know, you can check it out. They got merchandise if you want to check out the merchandise. You know, it's all positive, and if and you got to be part of the solution, people. So, man, Don, thanks so much for joining me tonight, man. And we got to get you back in, because I know it's other things you're going to have going on throughout the year.
Yeah.
And you know, summer is creeping up on us, and we all know us being in Chicago, you know what I'm saying? And, I just hope that somebody that's listening to this podcast, you know, that's out here in these streets, man, they hear this, man, because, yeah. You know, I always say this, man, it's kind of sad. Like, you know, some people that may be listening to this, we may not see them, you know, next summer. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, your words, you know, got through to them just by off what you said tonight. And it encouraged them to, you know, go on the web or make that phone call to your organization and be part of something positive, mm-hmm. you know. And like you said, you necessarily don't have to be, you know, in the system to be a part of this. You can, if you feel like you want to, if you want to make a change in life, you want to make mm-hmm. a change in your heart to make yourself better, to make, you know, Chicago better, and just make your household better. You know, this is what you should be doing, is being a part of something positive, man. I thank you, brother, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you for allowing me to be able to come on and just, you know, say some things to people, man. Because this is something that's in my heart. This is not something I'm trying to do for fame or fortune. I'm trying to give back, you know. And this is something that's been neglected for so long. You know, I'm tired of. I also cut deceased people's hair. You know, it's rough when you just got finished cutting, or you know somebody, and you got to go into the funeral homes and you cut their hair because the moms and them don't have enough money
right.
to pay for that part of the funeral service. They barely got enough money to pay for the regular service. And, you know, we want, you know, it's like these people not even over 30, or, you know, I've cut this year alone, well, 2017, over 20 deceased young folks, you know, and it's all about because they're not, the proper guidance wasn't giving them a chance to have, you know. So we need sponsors, we need people to donate so we can be able to give better things to them, man. It's not, you know, we trying to reach more people, you know, reach one, teach one.
All right, man, there you have it, man. Thanks for being with us. Hey, we'll be back right after this.
Thanks for listening to The Sean Green Show, the entertainment guru. You could friend him on Facebook, Sean Green Show Media, or follow him on Twitter, at Sean Green Show. The Sean Green Show on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.